Be there.
Businesses laid off more workers in August.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Private sector jobs in the U.S. fell by 10,000 last month, according to a new report. We'll tell you what that means after we ask, where's Wall Street? Investors seem to like this morning's news of strong growth in China and Australia. The Dow Industrials are up 123 points. That's about 1.25% at 10,138. The NASDAQ is up almost 1.5%, and the S&P 500 up about 1.33%. Burger King is up about 11% on rumors that a private equity firm is about to buy that company. With a side of rings. Now let's bring in analyst Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He joins us live every Wednesday from Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
As I said, Richard, the payroll company ADP said this morning private sector jobs fell slightly in August. How big a blow is that?
Well, that's not good news. It's the first loss we've had since January of this year. And once again, we're seeing them occur in the small business sector. Large businesses actually added a little bit. But the losses in the small and medium-sized business sector simply outweighed that loss, that gain. So on balance, a modest loss. And in fact, it's important to note that the real number people care about, the one coming out on Friday, has been running a bit higher, about 65,000 jobs better than the ADP report. So this doesn't necessarily mean all hope is lost. We may get a better figure when the real numbers come out on Friday.
Well, you stressed small business there. Congress keeps talking about helping small business. What form is that actually going to take, and how much could that help?
Well, there's actually a bill before Congress right now, $30 billion to be invested in banks if they demonstrate programs to lend to small businesses. This is kind of a mini version of the TARP program from almost 2 years ago. It doesn't cost the taxpayers anything because it's an investment, not a gift. But it's up against some tough realities. There's a lot of uncertainty in the banking industry. They already have more capital than they've held in decades. But they're confronting these new regulations, which are going to be phased in the next year. And so the question is, do they have enough capital, even though they have lots? That's probably what's holding back the flow of credit to small businesses.
Very interesting. Richard DeKayser of Woodley Park Research. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And speaking of financial regulation, J.P. Morgan Chase is shutting down its proprietary trading desks. These are the places where J.P. Morgan trades on its own behalf instead of on behalf of clients. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York to explain this. Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
What is J.P. Morgan saying about this?
Well, they're not saying anything, but a source familiar with the situation tells Marketplace that indeed the operations are being shut down. Now, this is something that all the U.S. banks are going to have to do to comply with a part of the financial regulation bill that's aimed at keeping banks from taking huge risks with their own money. I spoke with Brad Hintz, a bank analyst at Sanford Bernstein. He says this is a big deal.
Wall Street makes somewhere between 10 and 15% of its revenues in trading from proprietary trading. And you'd rather act quickly on this because if you don't, the traders are going to leave the firm.
By acting quickly, he says, banks can shift some of their top talent to other areas of the firm or perhaps spin them off into a hedge fund.
But if this kind of trading is such a big business, Jeremy, what would its demise mean to the banks?
Well, Brad Hinn says it'll mean they'll face stiffer competition from European banks, which can still do proprietary trading. But he says it also means that U.S. banks will use more of their money not to trade for themselves, but to lend, which is still, after all, Bill, one of the main things banks are supposed to do.
Bank lending, something we have been hearing so much about. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Time Warner Cable has doubled the fee it charges customers for not listing their telephone number in a phone book. Here to explain a company charging you to not do something is Los Angeles Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are we being charged for nothing?
They are charging you not to put your name in the phone book or not to give your name out for directory assistance, but then they charge you on a recurring basis, which makes no sense whatsoever.
a recurring basis because they're continuing to not do anything. So you're getting charged again.
And that's exactly what Time Warner Cable told me when I said, how can this be a recurring fee? And they said, well, we're giving you this service throughout the month. That is the service of them not doing something as they perpetually not do that thing for you. Well, of course, they can keep charging you for not doing it.
Some of us have heard about a fee for an unlisted number. The idea for phone companies is they want their phone book to get used. So, you know, it's more valuable to advertisers if you list your phone number. But Time Warner doesn't publish phone books.
No, they don't. In fact, they contract with a rival telecom company, Sprint, to take all of their phone customers, compile them together, and then give them to another phone company and put it in their directory. So just to recap, this is a fee to not put your name in a phone book that they don't have.
Now, to be fair, David, if my having an unpublished number, whoever's published, not publishing it, if that's a value to me, shouldn't I pay for it or go somewhere else?
I would say no, and a number of lawmakers agree with me, because this is a privacy question. Why should you have to pay extra for that? Moreover, in the age of blogging, when virtually anybody can be considered a minor celebrity, the notion that you now have to pay to protect yourself from people calling you up day and night, oh, dude, I read your blog, that is ridiculous. I talked to a state lawmaker in California, Fran Pavley, who tried to pass legislation that would prevent these fees. She said the telecom companies fought her tooth and nail to protect this revenue stream, and she had to back off from her bill.
He never returns my calls. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, the annual Best Places to Work list is out. It's a ranking of job satisfaction at federal agencies. At the Securities and Exchange Commission, which got accused of letting Wall Street run amok, employee happiness plummeted. But then there is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The FDIC has had to shut down 250 failed banks in the last year and a half. Job satisfaction there has soared. I guess it feels good to be needed. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.